I have to admit, I'm not a cosmologist, a physicist, or an astrophysicist. I come to this quite ignorant to the whimsical ways of astronomy. Every month, I'll be journeying into the cosmos to find out about, ultimately, how the universe we know came to be and what its fate will be. Okay, disclaimer over. Let's move on to this cosmic quandary, that is, the beginning of time. Or is there such a thing?
It's a very good question. Many cosmologists now think that there is.
That's Professor Hugh Price, Bertrand Russell philosopher at Cambridge University, and his research spans vast areas of science and metaphysics, including the philosophy of time.
This view goes back to the discovery that the universe is expanding, discovery made in the 1920s. Logical implication of that is that there must have been a time when it was at minimum size, and that's what we now think of as the Big Bang. And on most views, that's the beginning of time. There's literally nothing before that. People often find that puzzling and ask the question, well, what happened before the Big Bang? But really what you have to understand is that the answer to that is nothing, because there is no before. And interestingly, that's an answer which was understood hundreds of years before modern cosmology by the great early philosopher Augustine, who was a bishop in North Africa in, I think, the 4th century AD. And he was interested in the theological puzzle of what God was doing before he created the universe. And his answer to that was effectively the modern cosmological answer. Well, there was no before, because one of the things that God created was time itself. So you simply couldn't speak of what God was doing before he created the universe. And that's the same answer that you get in the Big Bang model in modern cosmology.
Basically, with the Big Bang, time was created. Time didn't exist before the Big Bang because the Big Bang created time. Armed with the best physics in the 20th century, Albert Einstein came to a very similar conclusion with his theory of relativity. Consider time dilation. This is the effect of mass on time. Planet Earth's hefty mass warps time. It's why clocks on orbiting satellites run a little slower, and why astronauts on the International Space Station return, having aged, slightly less. So after 6 months, Tim Peake will be about 0.007 seconds younger than he would have been if he'd lived on Earth. You didn't have to be in space to experience it, though. You could go and stand next to, I don't know, a big building or Ayers Rock, and time would run more slowly than if you ran on some flat plane somewhere like in Cambridge. That's really just an aside, but the big picture here is that space and time is warped by mass. And because at the Big Bang, all the mass in the universe would have been contained in something smaller than an atom, a singularity, it would have brought time to a standstill. Why then did time, and indeed this infinitely dense singularity, not stay like this forever? And what caused the universe to be in this state to begin with? As a child, it's built into us that there's a cause and an effect. Things just don't happen. Something makes them happen. Even when a magician pulls a rabbit out of a hat, trickery is suspected. Ergo, there must have been something before the singularity, right?
So one answer you could give is that really physics tells us that there really is no such thing as causation. All we can do is just describe the great pattern as we find it in the world. And in that pattern, in the Big Bang models of cosmology, it turns out that there's a first moment in time, a kind of boundary in time, just as we might have a boundary in space. So that's one possibility. Another possibility might be that we look for causes in the future as well as in the past. And if that's the case, then the best answer to the question, what caused the Big Bang, would be to look to the future and say that as you run the story backwards, the Big Bang has to happen because of how things are at later times.
How could you ever look to the future to discover what happened in the past?
In the physics, there's really no preference between the past and the future at a fundamental level. In deterministic models, you can equally well run the equations in either direction and infer the past from the future just as you infer the future from the past. Now, for creatures like us who happen to have a memory which works backwards, so we know more about the past than we do about the future, it's natural to have a notion of causation that we think of as running forwards. That's the direction in which we deliberate, in which we act on the world. But physics seems to suggest that that's much more a product of our viewpoint on the world than it is a product of anything that's fundamentally there in nature.
If I get this right then, something I do tomorrow could have caused something that I did yesterday.
Well, that way of looking at things from the point of view of physics is just as valid as the ordinary way of looking at things. Now, for many purposes, it's much better to look at things from a human point of view than from the point of view of fundamental physics. And from a human point of view, the useful notion of causation is the one that does work forwards. That's the one when we're deliberating about, you know, what to have for lunch or something and thinking about what the effects in the afternoon might be. But physics doesn't care about that sort of thing.